Let's go to Matthew 14 and 20. I'm going to read three verses, and we'll go back to this text and talk about it, but I want to read you three verses. Thank you for coming tonight. I do believe that by next Sunday we'll have the other air conditioner fixed there. This one had a Freon leak, one of the 10 tons that runs the sanctuary, and that's why it was a little warm Sunday. But thank the Lord, and Brother Charlie tends to all this maintenance around here, and I appreciate that. And Matthew 14 and 20 says, "And they did all eat and were filled." They were all full when they got through. "And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." So the hunger ceased and the excess began. Same chapter, a little further down, verse 32. "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Peter and Jesus, you know, Peter walked on the water. We'll talk about that. He gets in the boat. And when Jesus and Peter got back in the boat, the winds stopped and a calm began. Go down a little further, verse 36. "And when the word got out and these people besought him that they might only touch the hem." It wasn't just the one lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years, but they sought to just touch the hem of his garment. "And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The sickness ceased and the wellness began." I want to talk about it stops right here. It stops right here. It also can start right here. But everything stops and starts right here. Amen. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful for your blessings tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, for this opportunity. In this little old piece of real estate upon the whole earth, you're here. And you hear our prayers. And we're thankful, Lord, that when we consider the moon and the stars and all the universe, that you're mindful of us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We ask you to open up our ears and our eyes and every senses, God, that we have, that we may understand your word better. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to help you tonight. We have all seen a bus stop, right? Who hasn't rode a bus? Let's see your hand. Anybody not rode a bus? Okay, well, everybody's rode a bus. And they have a place that's called the bus stop. And so if you want to ride the bus, you can stop right there if you want to. Going to pass you right up. But if you want things that get on and get off, you better go to where the bus stops. And if you'll go to that place and wait, the bus stops here. And some people say the buck stops here, but hunters say the buck stops here too. But we're talking about things that stop and start. And anytime you stop something, it stops the flow of something, right? I mean, that bus has to put on the brakes. It stops the flow of it, and then it starts off again. And so one of the most important things that I want to talk to you tonight is about this starting and stopping. And I want to talk to you about strife, controversy. And there is so much controversy, not only in the land today among the whole world, but there's even controversy in the church. And there's controversy even with religion. There's controversy, and they have said nearly all wars start over religion. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say, and I'm sure many of them have. But then there's controversy in your own religion. And then you have controversy in the church you go to. And then you have controversy between the two of you sitting there. And you have controversy with the dog and the parakeet that you have. You have controversy. The dog and the cats are fighting. You know, just, it's a world of controversy. Even the Bible says that great is the mystery of godliness, right? I mean, it said without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, preached on the Gentiles, seen of angels, and received up into glory. Without controversy, meaning there's a lot of controversy. Some don't believe that he existed. Even those that saw him do miracles said it's not so. There was never two more controversial people in the Bible than John the Baptist and Jesus. I mean, they were voices of controversy because they were going against the grain, right? And so I want to talk to you about controversy. And we need to understand there's two terms that I want to teach you tonight. And one of them is to strive, S-T-R-I-V-E, to strive. And the other one is strife, with F, strive and strife. And this word strive, you'll see it in the Bible many times. It can be used with causing strife, but in its original form, to strive means to put one's effort into something, right? It's to put forth one's effort to achieve or accomplish a purpose or a goal. That's why he said, strive that you may enter in at the straight gate. It means you're going to have to put forth some effort. He said, the broad way, you don't have to work at that. There's no striving to be lost. But you have to strive to be saved. Doesn't mean you got to enter into conflict, you see. It just means you have to put some effort into it to strive to make your calling, he said, an election sure. So the striving is something that is necessary to live for God. But if I'm striving and you're not, if you're striving with me, then Lord, a 2-3-4 cord is not easily broken. We can, you know, you plow two mules together, they plow real good. But he said, don't plow the ox and the ass together. Why? Conflict, controversy, strife will be. They both are pulling, but they pull at a different speed. They look in different directions. They pull with different horsepower, if you will. And so they cause, even though they're both striving, they cause strife. How many have some strife in your life of some kind? Some kind. Yeah. Everybody lives with strife. And it's very important that we understand what strife is and what striving is so that we don't get these two things mixed up even when we read our Bible. But anytime you strive and I strive, we don't strive together, then it begins strife. You want to eat at McDonald's, he wants to go to Burger King. But you both want to eat. But you can get in a knockdown drag out over whether we go into McDonald's. I don't like them old grilled burgers they got over there. And, well, I don't like the ones they put on that flame. Well, they make me burp. Well, it don't make me burp. All you're worried about is yourself, you see, Ethel. And it can start over nothing. When you look at the root of most controversies, it's nothing. You're both hungry. But if you strive together, hallelujah, then you accomplish things. But when strife sets in, nothing is accomplished. And the same is true among churches and among Christians. If we work together, if a church pulls together, then they go places. But if they pull apart, Lord have mercy, nothing gets done. We start fighting among ourselves and forget the lost. The whole purpose of the church and perfecting of the saints. So there are so many works of the flesh, and I'm still working on those, it'll be a while, but there's so many works of the flesh we could talk about, but I'm here to tell you the most important one is strife. That's the most important one, and I'll show you why. Just as love, they asked, Master, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love. And the second is likened to the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. But the first one is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He said, and then all the rest of them, you don't have to work at them. They just happen. And the same is true with strife. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, which are brothers and sisters, or twins, if you will, there is confusion and a few works of the flesh. No, my brothers and sisters, there is every work of the flesh. Wherever strife is, you'll find anger, you'll find malice, you'll find envy, you'll find jealousy, you'll find lust, you'll find, you name me the work of the flesh, and I'll tell you, it goes back to strife. It goes back to that. So if we can get the strife out, then the works of the flesh kind of take care of themselves. They all begin with a conflict. Sometimes it's right here. Sometimes it's between two people. But it's a conflict. And so if we can live and walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, we will not fulfill the lust thereof. Now you have to understand, sin is, this is good, sin is not accomplished till lust is what? Help me. Fulfilled. You see, sometimes people, if you're not careful, things can cross your mind that's not a good thought. And maybe you started, sin occurs when it is what? Fulfilled. Not when you feel it, when it's fulfilled. Two different kinds of words, but it leads to the same thing. So sin is accomplished when you have fulfilled the lust of the flesh. So strife must stop. Can you say amen? How many of you would have a better life if you didn't have strife in your life? You don't need it. Everybody would. You knock out the strife, life is great. The world is great. Church is great. Everything's great. The songs are great. I mean, I can't preach a bad sermon if you knock out strife. Judgment begins where? At the house of God. And judgment knocks out strife. When the judge says, kick, that's it. It should be the end of strife. Oh, you may be angry you didn't get your way, but he said, that's it. I said, that's it. So let's look at a few scriptures I want to teach tonight from Hebrews 6 and 16. For men verily swear by the greater. I swear by so-and-so. I swear by so-and-so. You know, and they swear by somebody of higher than them to make it look like they're connected to them. And an oath for confirmation. They take the oath. Is to them an end of all strife. So that when you men would swear and swear by an oath, then it was the end of controversy. That's supposed to settle it. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto his heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong, not controversy, but a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we had for an anchor of the soul. It stops here. You throw out an anchor, your boat's going to stop. My soul stops here. Anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. When men look around that day, the Bible says to swear not by heaven nor by earth. But yet in those Old Testament days, they swore. And so why not? Because your word should be, if you're living for God, what I say does not need to be backed up by a swear. Because I'm supposed to be speaking godly. I don't need. But when in the Old Testament, when they wanted to confirm something to end the strife, they would take an oath and make a swear. And so God wanted to do the same thing with Abraham. And he looked around and he said, I swear to you that your seed's going to multiply and you're going to have nations and kings are going to come out of you. And he said, I swear by myself. When there was nothing higher to swear by, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. So I'm here to tell you, if God said it, you can count on it. You can bank on it. He said the dead will rise again. Hallelujah. I'd stop right here. You can lay me here, but I'm going to catch a bus to glory one day. Hallelujah. I'm anchored in that. My hope is in that. Hallelujah. And so I don't know if anybody's got any enemies tonight. I must be the only one that does. And it seems like I didn't have any enemies till I got that. Once you get this in your hands, then everybody gets to critique you. Everybody gets to see you lose your hair and you lose your teeth and all that kind of stuff. They get to critique you. But when I didn't have that, my wife used to say, everybody likes you. And now she says, almost everybody likes you. This is what did it. David was a very controversial person. He was, people liked him and kings hated him. They'd like him and then they'd hate him. And so he had a lot of enemies. Let's read a little bit in Psalms 31 and 5. This may help you with some of your enemies. He said, as he prayed, he said, a psalm he wrote, plead my cause. Now this is the same man that came and saw a giant, right? And when the other brothers were shaken and Israel was afraid, and this little man at that time said, is there not a, right? Did I not sling that? Did I not go out there? Now look, I got problems. Plead my cause. Okay. So he said, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. But they fight against them that fight against me. I'm asking you to fight against them that fight against me. It's got to stop here. Because if you fight against them, I don't have to fight. Isn't what the Lord told Jehoshaphat? He said, I don't even want you to fight. The battle's mine. Just go up there and sing a song about the beauty of holiness. Y'all just sing a little hymn up there, and I will have the enemy turn on themselves, the Moabites against the Amorites, against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They'll start stabbing each other, and y'all just sing glory, glory, hallelujah, and let them do the fighting. I like that. I like that. He said, take hold of shield. Now he's telling the Lord. He said, take hold of shield and of buckler. That's a smaller shield. And stand up for mine help. Draw out also thy sword. Oh, Lord, don't forget your sword. You told us to have those weapons, and one of them was the sword. Well, I want you to get your sword and stop the way against them that persecute me. It's got to stop here. Say that with me. It's got to stop here. I've had all of this I'm going to take. It's got to stop here. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them that confounded be, let them be confounded, confused. I tell you what, the Lord knows how to put you in so many battles, you'll forget about me. He'll make you so sick you won't worry about me anymore. Yeah, that's the truth. David, Saul had David up a mountain. He said, I got him this time. David was up there with him. Like, oh, my God. He said, I'm going to die at the hands of Saul. And he was getting ready to go up there. And word came to him that the Philistines was taking over a city. He said, I'll be right back. Well, by that time, David was gone. The Lord knows how to put your enemies in such confusion, they'll forget about you. Let them be confounded. Isn't that what David prayed in another place? Let them be all confounded and turn back that hate Zion. He said, let them be as the grass upon the housetop, which withereth afore it groweth up. Huh. And put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that desire my hurt. Boy, am I helping anybody? Amen. Helping me, so I'm going to. Let them be as chaff before the wind. How many of you ever, brother, buddy, you ever threshed peas? Did you set up a fan or you just, what'd you do? Yeah. My old grandpa used to thresh peas, and I'm going to do a video on that one of these days. It's a really good video. I'm going to do that one of these days, and I'm going to call it the threshing floor. And he would take a sack of old dried peas that was on the, he'd get off the vine there, and he'd put it in a sack, and he'd take an axe without the axe head and just use the handle. And he would tie them up, and he would beat those things. He would beat them. And I always liked it. Grandpa, let me beat them. I liked them. I was toting a big stick. I was a little boy with a big stick. And I was hitting them. And then he'd take a fan. He put it in a chair, and he had a big old wash tub about that big. And he'd set that fan there, and he'd open that sack, and he would pour those peas out real slow, and the wind would drive the chaff away. No wonder David said the ungodly are not so. They're not so. Don't worry about them. They're not so. They're like the wind that the chaff driveth away. And as he would pour it out, the sea would go ding, 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 and it would be hitting the bottom of the thing. And you know what? After he'd do that, he'd get to the end of the sack. There was still some chaff in there. So he put it back in there and beat it again. And that's why he said he'll thoroughly purge his floor. He just keeps beating it till he's nothing but seed. One more time will I shake heaven and earth. The only things that will remain is what cannot be shaken. And so David is telling us that they're like chaff before the wind. Let the angel, now watch closely. David says, let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause, David looked at King Saul, and one time he said, what have I done? What is my transgression? Why do you hate me like you hate me? For without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares when they least expect it. And let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction, let him fall. The very thing he wanted to happen to me, Mr. Haman, is what happened to him. The very thing he wanted to happen to Mordecai happened to you. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. David is pleading and saying, God, the strife has got to stop here. And I don't know really who I'm talking to tonight, but I will tell you, there's got to come a place, if you're ever going to have peace, that strife must stop. You got to let, I want every time, now when you go past a bus stop, I want you to say, it's got to stop here. Anything that's happening not good in your life, and you see that bus stop, it is your opportunity to declare, let it stop here. And let the good start here. Let my enemies get off and my blessings get on. This woman that had the issue of blood for 12 long years and tried everything and only grew worse and run out of money, run out of patience, run out of everything. But then she heard about Jesus and she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She said, it's going to stop here. Now, she had to strive to get there. There was a press. There was people in her way. And the Bible says she pressed her way through the crowd. I'm telling you, anything you want from God is going to require some striving, not strife. And she strove, if you will, her way to him. And as soon as she touched him, the Bible says immediately, it dried up. One writer in Luke said it staunched. That's only one place in the Bible that word is used. It staunched. That means it happened right there. It stopped. The bleeding stopped right there. I'm here to tell you, healing starts here. Sin stops here. Hallelujah. Sickness stops here. Wellness starts here. Everything stops and starts at the same place. Everything in God. You can stop the enemy and start the blessings right here. Somebody said, well, I just don't know why y'all call us to the altar all the time. Altar is a place of stopping and starting. The altar is a bus stop. It's a place where you give up that and you take over this. It was a place where one life was lost and another life was gained. It's a place where you get rid of the old and you take on the new. Woo! And that's why I do it. Sometimes I'm not after but one person. And that's why sometimes I ask the church to move. And when we ask you to move, move. Because, sometimes we just, it's not about you sometimes. Sometimes it's about somebody else. But when you move, it encourages them to move. Because I still like that old coal walk down that aisle. I'm telling you, I still like just everybody pray, bow your heads and pray somebody needs to get. And them knuckles are like this. And after a while, that sinner takes that step out. Woo, I like that. That's the way it ought to be, because there's a commitment there that there's not when I coax you into it. It stops right here. Anytime you have strife, you don't have peace. They don't go together. They don't go together. They're at odds with each other. I preached a sermon one time. See if you remember. You might remember that because I preached it just last time. But how many of you remember a sermon called Jonah's Got to Go? Jonah's got to go. And so Jonah was, you know, he was maybe a prophet, maybe a preacher. I don't know. But he had to go. He wasn't obeying the Lord. And so Jonah decides to take this ship down to Tarsus, right? He pays his fare. He's not robbing anybody. He's just paying his fare. And he gets on this boat, and these mariners are like taking a cruise. You know, hey, how are you? Yeah, my name's Jonah. I'm going to Tarsus. Okay, we'll get there after a while. It's like, calm seas today. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy the cruise. I've been wanting to get on a little vacation. But, Lord, they didn't get far down there. What in the world? We checked the satellite before we left, and we didn't see any storm on this satellite. Wonder who's disobeyed their God. Who's disobeyed their God? He's going, me. Well, what do you do? Well, it's a long story. And he said, I'll tell you what. If you want the winds calm, cast me in the sea. And they rowed the harder. They're like, no, we don't want to do that. But it got the worst. Till finally they say, Jonah's got to go. Jonah's got to go. Whenever you take, whatever you take into you, your bosom, you get all of it. You get, the Bible says a man cannot take fire, coals of fire into his bosom and his clothes not get burned. Yeah. So you get it all. They took Jonah in and the strife started. Why? He was in strife. And now he wanted to ride and they wanted to ride. They both wanted to ride, but it was a conflict of why they were riding. And so when they threw Jonah out, the Bible says the winds ceased. It stops right here. If you want strife out of your life, some people, you got to let them go. You got to let them go because they just bring turmoil into your life. Can I go on a little further? In our text, we found, if you read the whole text, you would find that Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, not including men, women, children, or 5,000 men, not including women and children. And so these people were following him and so hungry for the things of God, just to hear him. Now, I mean, I try to be through at 12 around here because I know you get through before I get through. That's never good. But they were so hungry to hear from Jesus that they just kept following. I was like, say that again. Do it again. Sell us something else, Master. And they just kept talking. And the sun started going down. And then his disciples got to noticing, Master, Master. You see, they're hungry. Should we send them away? No, don't send them away. Oh, we don't have enough to feed them. It would take 20 minutes. And the striving turned to strife. That's what happens in church. Striving turns to strife. You can have a dinner on the ground out here, and somebody gets mad. Now, I hope that don't happen here. But if somebody gets mad, well, I don't care. You cook your own mashed potatoes. And striving turns to strife. It's not right. It's not right. Y'all must know something I don't know. We have to have a business meeting. But they start arguing. And even it was like Andrew said, well, we found a little boy that he's got two fishes and five loaves of bread. And he said, well, what is that among so many? You idiot. You see? Strife. And it wasn't about that. It was about, Lord, feed me. It doesn't matter if they have to go back. But Jesus said, they need not go because they followed me for the right purpose. Now, here's what you do, boys. Bring it to, it stops here. Y'all can fight over it all you want, do the two fish and the five loaves, and it's not enough. But you bring it to me, it stops right here. And then when you give it to me, it starts right here. I'll stop that, and we'll stop the controversy, and we'll start the eating. And the hunger stopped, and the blessings began, and they took up. They were arguing about two fishes and five loaves of bread, and they took up 12 basketfuls, I think they said. What were they arguing about? See, the strife it's just, you got to get it out of your life. Can you say amen? You just got to get it out of your life. And so we read down a little further. This is all in this same chapter. He had just broke the bread, and he constrained them to get into a boat to go to the other side. And then he leaves them. When I first got to Carlos, I thought that's what happened to me. I felt like he constrained me to come here, and he left me. And he put me right in a storm. And he constrained them. It means he forced them, because they'd have been happy to sit around there with the bread and, oh, Lord, I'm kind of, we're going to the other side. Y'all get in the boat, I'll see you on the other side. So they, after being constrained, they get in the boat and they meet a storm. Brother, you ever felt constrained of the Lord? Sometimes it'll strain you. And so while they're in the boat, it starts, here comes the wind, here comes the waves, and I'm doing what he told me to do. And look what I'm going through. Look what happened to me. I thought he wanted me to go there. And so they looked up and they saw what they thought was a ghost coming, a spirit, you know. But Jesus, if he constrains you to do something, he's not going to leave you. He'll walk into the storm, my brothers and sisters. What you're fearful of, he walks into. And he walked into the storm, and they, thinking it is some kind of spirit, almost didn't say anything. And he said, if they hadn't have cried out, I'd have passed them by. But that Peter to them, they cried out, Lord, is that you? He said, yeah. He still didn't believe him. Well, if that's you, bid me to come. And the Lord said one word, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat, and the Bible says he walked upon the water. But when he saw the confusion, when he saw the strife, when he saw the wind, and when he saw all of this going on, he left focus of striving to get to Jesus. And the strife began to make him sink. And as he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. See, the Lord didn't even reach down until he said that. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately, the Bible says, he reached down. He said, it stops here. You stop here. So how far do you want to sink? It depends on when you cry out, Lord, help me, save me. Because he said, I can stop it here. So how much strife do you want? How much anger do you want to deal with? It's up to you. It really is. It's up to you. Because the Bible says he'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's what the Bible says. So he pulls him out of the water and he sets him back on the boat and he gets up on the boat and he says, peace be still. Guess what? It stops here. It stops here. And there was a great calm. It stops here. You get him in the boat, get Jonah out of the boat, and it will stop right here. And so then when the word gets out, as they come tonight, word gets out that of this great miracle, the great calm, and the men on the other side, on the Gennesaret was the place they were headed to, they hear what's happened. And all the men went and gathered up all the sick. It says they gathered up all the diseased. Man, what manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey him? Whew, I imagine he can heal. I imagine he can save. He can stop this leprosy. And I can start feeling good again. He can stop this pain, and I can start feeling good again. He can stop this argument, and we can start having peace in our life again. He can stop this, and you understand what I'm trying to preach? It's the bus stop of glory. It's the bus stop. It's where you let things off so other things can get started. Don't just stay on the bus with your people that are agitating. You say, you go on, I'll catch the next bus. And they all came, and the Bible says, just like the woman, those that touched the hem. Is that a hem there? They didn't need a prayer cloth and rub it all over them. Just, they have to reach up, touch the hem. As many as touched the hem. And it says they were healed of some of them. It said they were all healed. It stops right here, my brothers and sisters. It stops. of healed of all their diseases. It all starts and stops in Christ. He who the Son hath made free is free indeed. As you stand tonight, I don't know what you may be struggling with. I would ask, if it's okay, just make your way down here. Just make your way down here for a few minutes. Because I feel like there's somebody tonight that there's some things that's got to stop. It's got to stop. And maybe you've told someone recently, this is driving me crazy. It hurts relationships between each other. It hurts your relationship with God. You take it to work. You take it to the store. When we ought to be talking about the love of God and the goodness of God and the mercies of God and the blessings of God, check your conversation today. Was it about strife? I want you to pass a bus stop tomorrow, and every bus stop you see, you say, it stops here. It's up to me to stop it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I invite anybody that may be sick or need prayer to come forward. If you need, and you want it to stop, I'm telling you, wellness starts here. Sickness stops here. Wellness starts here. I want you to come forward. Bless Sister Cindy. Anybody else? I need help. I want something to stop. This needs to stop. It's got to go.